He's worthy of our life being an altar for His fire. It's been a theme this summer. That our lives and this church become an oven for the fire of God. That out of this place, revival and reformation would hit this campus and would go around the world. We've been speaking about the foundations of kingdom relationships because He's worthy of having a family that He went to the cross to give the Father. He's worthy of that. He's worthy of us actually taking on Jesus as we relate to one another. Today I'm going to be going into finishing up this series, which I really don't want to, but I need to, because in summertime it's really hard to do anything past 3 weeks because people come and go so much. But we've been speaking on the foundations of Christian covenant relationships. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is the chapter that really explains what this love looks like. It's interesting that in verse 13, it ends with this. These things will last forever. Did you know that you're going to need hope in heaven? That's funny. Because He's the God of hope. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these things is love. Now, everything that originates from God is eternal. Okay? So this is why Jesus said, when you have that mustard seed faith and you can move a mountain, that's when you tap into the faith of God. He calls it the faith of God. Not just your faith, but there's a higher faith that we can actually tap into that emanates from God. When Romans 15 speaks about hope, it calls God the God of hope. Yeah, come on. And this agape love, this love emanates from God. It is not found anywhere outside of God. Because according to verse 8 of our text scripture here that's been 1 John 4, the one who does not agape love does not know God. For God is agape love. In other words, this love can only be known by experiencing God. Here's the thing about agape love. It emanates and comes from God because it is part of His nature and character. It is not something that He does. It is who He is. What does that mean? Well, we're told in Ephesians that we will spend all of eternity exploring the height, the breadth, the width of the love of God. Right. Because like, wait a minute, He doesn't just love, He is love. Yeah. And He's going to invite us forever. And that's why we need to have hope and faith in eternity, because we're pursuing this love. We're exploring this love. It's an amazing thing. But this love isn't just something that we receive. We can also give it away, because once we received it, we can give it, according to verse 11 that says, beloved, if God so agape loved us, we ought to agape love one another. In other words, once you've received it, baby, the way to live in it, the way to flow in it, and the way to even have more is to give it away. It's the only place in the ecosystems of what we know that the more you give away, the more you're able to receive. Because He says, oh my, you are acting like my son Jesus. I'm just going to have to bless you with a little more love. I'm going to have to anoint you with a little more love. See, agape love is the foundation for all kingdom relationships. It's the standard. It is a covenant-making love, because in the kingdom of God, we make covenant that we may be in relationships. In the world, what do? I'm going to test out our relationship, and if you perform according to my standard, then I will commit myself to you. That's not what Jesus did. He made a covenant before we even agreed to it. And in the kingdom, we make covenant so that we may have relationship. And covenant says, I will treat you according to the standard that heaven has treated me with. I'm going to treat you according to the standard that I've been treated by God. Therefore, I am committed to love you and honor you as I have been loved and honored. Agape, love, covenant, and honor are the foundations for a family of God. They're the foundations for how we treat one another, we relate to one another. And today I want to share a little bit more about our responsibility to live in the freedom that we've been given by agape love and heaven's honor. So let's talk about honor a little bit more. The purpose of honor is to raise someone up. Okay, it's to get under them and bring them into a preferential place. Romans 12:10 says, it commands us to be kind and affectionate to one another with love and honor, giving preference. Giving preference to one another. Honor is what Jesus gave to us. When he said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. But then he looked to the glory set before him. And he preferred us in honor to not going to the cross. That's crazy. That's where honor comes from. That is the greatest example of what honor comes from. That he preferred us above his sufferings. He preferred us above the not being suffered and not going through hard times and difficulties. Because Jesus honored us while we were still in that ugly state of sin, while we were selfish and piggish and just like, you know, living for ourselves. Jesus says, oh, because I agape you, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to bring you into the kingdom of my Father. So he got underneath of us and he lifted us up and he upgraded us from prisoners and orphans to sons, because that's what honor does. Okay? He upgraded us from mortality to immortality, because that's what honor does. Now, let me ask you, did we deserve in that state for Jesus to go to the cross for us? Was there something that we did that was, oh yeah, they're worthy of that? No, in the same way, in the culture of honor, people don't get what they deserve. In the culture of honor, we don't treat one another according to what they deserve. It's a higher standard. Rather, I'm called to lift people up to who they're called to be in Jesus. Okay? And we got to treat them according to the value that agape love has put upon them. I realize, man, Jesus died for them. I don't want Jesus to have his reward. So I need to honor who Jesus died for. And that's why the Bible says honor all men. It says honor mother, father. It gives you the list. We did it last week. But then it says all men. Why? Because all men are honorable because of the price paid for them. And so here's the thing. This is the standard for our family. It's supposed to be the currency by which we exchange in relationship. It's this whole idea that we're gonna honor one another as heaven has honored me, until we begin to reflect the family of heaven on the earth. And that family is wonderful. That family is amazing. It's the Father and the Son. It is the King of glory, the King of a kingdom over an ecclesia who invades all things with the glory and power of God, but it does it as a family. So, it's not how we've been treated in the world, this kind of honor. It's not how we've been trained by the world. Because the world trains us. We're discipled by the world. That's the bottom line. And we come to the kingdom, and we've been discipled all our lives with the world. And even after the kingdom, because of the influence of media and culture and everything around us, guess what? We're still being discipled. That's why we have to continually repent. See, repentance is not this ugly thing like, oh, I was wrong. No, like, oh, I'm thinking wrong. Oh, I'm, doesn't line up. I got to adjust myself to the word of God, because a lot of our behavior reflects more of how we've been trained in the world than what the word says. And listen, guys, this is something the Lord's been speaking to me about. He says, the kingdom of God now is advancing on the earth in a way it has not advanced since the early church. It is advancing with glory and power. And the things that God had grace for that did not reflect his kingdom in the past, he says grace because you did not have the understanding of know that. Because he will no longer allow those things to function and succeed anymore. Because he says, I've got a greater thing. The glory is coming. It is closer to you right now. And if you reach for it, you can be elevated and function in a higher place of your call rather than the place that the world has said it's okay to function in. Therefore, any Christian community I enter into in this season because I need, because I want, will fail because he will not allow I to be the center of our encounters. When man fell, the hole came into us. And we try to fill it with this other thing that the world knows as love, called eros. So you got to know that in the Bible there are four words in the Greek New Testament for love. There's sergo, which is hardly used. There's I don't even know if I pronounced that right. There's eros, philia, and agape. And philia is the love that families have. Agape does not exist outside of God. So if you were raised by mom and dad who did not know God, you were not agape love because they had no access to that. They weren't bad people. They filioed you. Okay? And it's okay. They're doing their best. But you were not agape until you had an encounter with the Lord. And that is the reformation that we're coming into right now. See, eros love is what I call a motivated love. It is a love with a hook. Find that slide. It is a love with a hook. It says, I love you. I will give myself to you. I will engage you with your relationship, but I need. So I reference things back to me and my need. And if you don't function in this relationship according to the standard of my need, desires, and wants, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to treat you differently. See, that's the culture of the world. And because of eros is me focused, it will desire the honor from people and will even sometimes demand it. But in the kingdom, man is not the source of my honor. You've got to get this. Man is not the source of your honor. I don't get next to the city leaders in order for me to get their honor. I get next to them in order for me to give them my honor that I receive from the Father so I can lift them up so they can do the job of being a public servant as the best that they can because I'm praying for them and I'm lifting them up. Amen. That's why I get next to them. Not to be honored. I bring my own honor with me. Thank you. Now, listen. In the same way, I have a relationship with Ty. He's been in my life since he was graduated high school. I bring my own honor into my relationship with him. I don't need him to honor me in order for me to honor him. Okay? So bring my own honor into a relationship because of my sense that I'm an identity as a son. That's why we heal the sick. That's why we raise the dead because that's what sons do. This is why this is all related. This is why going to Todd White is not about healing. It's about this. This is at the base of it all. This whole thing of honor, it's tough because we tend to think like mere men. And Paul rebukes the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:3. Stop thinking like mere men. Why? Because you were created in the image of Jesus. When you came into the kingdom, you were given the mind of Christ. You became a brand new creation. You're a hybrid. You're no longer mere men. You have access to divine thinking, to a new heart and a new mind in Christ Jesus. Therefore, shift, repent, turn, start grabbing that. Disciple, let that begin to disciple your heart. And that's why it's so different than the world. Because in the world, honor is based around mutual admiration and respect. That is the basis of it. But in the kingdom, honor searches for the glory that God put in people. And it digs it up and brings it up. See, what happened if we created a culture that this is what we're doing with one another all the time? That we face each other and say, listen, I know that you carry a treasure in earthen vessel. I can look at the cracks of the earthen vessel. It uses that phrase, the earthen vessel, because they were the most common vessels. They were imperfect. So they were the vessels that they gave to the kids to drink, because if they break it, it's not a big deal. So that's really the reference there. That you're a fragile person with this amazing treasure. So James, oh, it's so good to have James back with us, you guys. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. So I look at James and I can see the cracks in his vessel. But I'm going to focus on the treasure. And I'm going to call the treasure because he knows his cracks. And he sometimes the cracks in our lives and the struggles that we have, we're focused on it. So we need somebody to come alongside us. But I do you know the treasure that you carry? Do you know the honor that you've been given? And here's where things get tough. Because the longer we're together, we will develop history with one another. And that's when you get to know me. It's like, oh, Pastor Steve's not who I thought he was. He toots. I didn't think pastors did that. I'm just being real. Like people, I'm like, I just embarrass everybody. But no, like, we do that. We elevate people in this weird place. And then when their humanity leaks out of them, we like, okay. That reference is getting way, way out there. Whoa. That was C spontaneous. Stick to your notes. So here's the thing. What happens is if I see the stuff that makes you human and still in the struggle and still in process, and I see your failures, okay, and I focus on that, pretty soon I may be just backing away from the relationship for a while because it's kind of messy. You know, you're kind of a geek. You're kind of weird. I don't know if I want to hang out with you. You know, and so we tend to pull away, and then we start holding our history against one another. And we end up doing Satan's job, who's always reminding us of our failures and of our past. And when I do that, then I'm treating you according to the traditions of men rather than to the word of God. When the Bible talks about the traditions of men, this is what it's talking about. It's the world system. It's the culture that's out there that's discipled us. And this is why Eros, love, always turns relationships into performance, because man, dude, I love hanging out with you. You're so great, but I know that you have the standard for the way I need to behave around you. And if I don't do the things right or whatever, then you're going to pull back and you're going to withhold your love from me. So therefore, I've got to perform according to the standard that you have for me. And so performance comes back in, and we treat each other according to behavior and traditions of men rather than the kingdom. And we see people historically rather than prophetically. Now, I gotta just be honest with you and just share some stuff. Sometimes when we're having team meetings and we're discussing things and people and stuff, and I've heard it more often than once, Steve, you're a very gracious man. And that's a testimony, because I was not always gracious. When I was a young man, 19, 20 years old, I was not real gracious. I helped start a young adults group when I was 19. Later, when I was in my 30s and married, I pastored it. So when I refer to that, I was that group later, 10 years later. But I helped start it when I was 19. And you know, so we start this group. These people start coming to this group. These young people come to this group. And there's kids that are like 23 and 24, and they're divorced. And I'm like, what kind of a loser are you that nobody would even hang out with you for a couple of years? I mean, like, I had no mercy. I had no grace. I mean, be honest, my parents were all like, you can't do that. You can't say that. My sister, who's the most honorable person in the world, isn't she? She is just like the most gentle and honorable. She's like, Steve. And I'm like, what? It's real. And that really was the way I was, to be honest with you. Until I started saying, God, I really want to know you and I want to know your heart. And his heart didn't look like that. Didn't look like that. And I thought, that's worth my discomfort to pursue the beauty of his heart. And when the prophetic gifts started kicking into my life, I started seeing people according to what the Father was saying, not according to what I saw. And it surprised me at first. I'm like, whoa, that just came out of my mouth. And I know this guy. And Father, that's what you're thinking? And I began to shift my heart and change my heart. And this is why we have to listen to prophetic words for one another. So that we can remind each other what Papa has said about us. And said, oh, remember what the Lord said. Remember His goodness over your life. Remember the way you were honored before the people of God when that word was released before you. Remember what He said. Because when you're struggling and you're thinking like it's not going to come to pass, somebody remind me of my prophetic future rather than my past history. So we need to hear what God is saying about one another so that we can, in love, elevate them with honor, restore them to that place. Because the prophetic doesn't just point the way, it also corrects us to the standard of heaven's way. Because this love thing, this covenant thing, this honor thing, this is what our family is supposed to be built on. To be the family of heaven means that I gotta honor you according to the destiny that you carry. So that means you got to start having prophetic eyes. And this is why this is a prophetic church. Because agape love isn't really known unless it's revealed. It's got to be revealed. And so, and in that culture, then all correction is life-giving. It's not punishment. It's life-giving. It's not punishment. Correction puts us back where we belong. And sometimes people will at times lash out in their anger and in their pain and in their struggle. And they'll just go like, blah, over you. You ever been like been thrown up on? It's like, whoa, I just got gook on me. You know, that's family. That's legit. It will happen. And sometimes they begin to lash out at you because of their pain. This is when we got to remind them of who they are. This is when we got to come up and say, listen, right now you're acting according to your weakness, but let me remind you of the strength of the Lord He put in your life. Let me remind you of the word He said. That's when we do like the commercial I played last week. We got the honor Snickers bar. It says, come on, man. You're acting like a diva right now. Eat a little bit of honor so you can snap back into who you really are. You remember that commercial? We played it last week. That's what we're talking about. Because love compels us to come along people who are struggling and use honor to gently restore them back to who they're called to be. See, in the culture of honor and the culture of agape is very different than the culture of eros, because there is fear of punishment in eros. It's legit. There is punishment in eros. If you don't perform, I punish you. I punish you by breaking up with you. I punish you by talking to other people about you. I punish you. That's what John said to say, wait a minute, in this love, there's no punishment. Because it's not based on what you do. Because agape love is not based on anything you have ever done. You cannot deserve agape love. It is a gift from God for you regardless. In fact, it's available to every person ever born on the planet. It is a gift of God available to you. It is for you, not because you drew it to yourself somehow because of your goodness. No, 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 no. It came from His goodness. In that culture of eros love, there's a culture, there's a belief that people can be scared into righteousness. Set enough rules in their lives so they can be righteous. And remind them of their failures so they snap back into righteousness. We have a way of using sometimes shame to correct bad behavior because nobody wants to be shamed. And sadly, many believers have experienced that inside the church and in the kingdom, and then they think Papa's like that. They think that the Father is unpleasable. That His general mood with us is that He's disappointed. Father, I come before You. I know You're a little disappointed with the fact that I didn't pray the whole entire week last week. Because we think that our relationship with Him banks on our performance rather than His grace and His love. See, the Eros culture has this expectation of punishment in it. I can't even figure out how to keep all the rules. like, whoa, there's a lot of rules I got to try to keep. And people who carry that mindset, then the voice of the accuser is more of a voice of comfort to them. Because condemnation has become such a familiar place for them to snap back into the right behavior that they actually, the voice of the accuser is sometimes the voice of comfort because they've mistaken condemnation for conviction. Because the Holy Spirit brings us convictions of sin and of righteousness. He does not just point out to what's wrong. He points out to how He can make us right. And He says, come on. Get back on the wagon. You jumped off? Get back on. Your seat of honor still waits you. See, in the book of John 3:17, Jesus sets a new standard for the new covenant. And it is this: for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus creates a culture that you can run to him with your sin rather than run from him because of your sin. Come on. And the church and this family has got to be like that. That we say, come on, you got sins, run to us. Run to us. Because this is where you're going to get healing. This is where you're going to get sorted out and set the right way. Your sin does not scare me. What scares me is that you never realize the righteousness of Jesus that you have the possibility to tap into, but you don't. That scares me that you won't ever do that. Jesus came to create a culture that welcomes people running with their sins to him. Why? Because in agape love, there is no fear of punishment. Let me say this again. It's not based on your performance. I can't go to Jesus because this week I did this. That's exactly why you need to go to Jesus. Because his love for you does not change because of what you did. It does not change. Now, you will reap consequences for what you did. Oh, baby, that's true. But his love does not change. His power is waiting for you. Because you're not loved because of what you've done. You're loved because of what he has done. So I want you right now to close your eyes, because some of you in this room right now realize that the wound of Eros has hit you. And Papa, most of the time, looks to you like he's disappointed with you. Because maybe your father on earth all the time used disappointment to correct your behavior. And so, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would mark that in our hearts, because today you're going to heal it. Today, you're going to set a new standard. Today, we can walk out of this room with that being a memory of the past, but never projected into our future. Thank you, Father. I'm going to come back to that here in a minute, but I want to just get cover a couple more things today. And if you just give me the time, because I need to finish this up today. So I'm going to go right up to the 12:30 thing. But here's the deal. The culture of agape love and covenant honor is a culture of freedom. I wanted to talk about that, because this message scares a ton of people, because, man, it seems like I'm taking away all the rules that keeps you behaving right. I am. Because there's something higher. Something better. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ sets us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to the yoke of slavery. How free are you? How free are you? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:23, it's really scary. All things are lawful to me. You read that in the Amplified Bible, it says this: everything's permissible to me. I can do what I want. What? Why? Because only in freedom will agape love be able to manifest itself. I'm free to love or not love. Am I carrying Jesus with me? St. Augustine said this. Now, I don't agree with everything St. Augustine had to say, but, you know, not everybody gets everything right. But he got love right. And he said this about the agape love of God. He said this: agape love God and do what you want. So I can love God and rob banks. I can love God and sleep with all the women I want. Love regulates me to honor the one who has bestowed all honor upon me. And I will never do anything to hurt the one who gave all for me. Now I use my free will, the very thing man used for sin, and I'm using it for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? How do you defeat the enemy? He hates that. He doesn't want you to be free. He wants you to be bound by a bunch of regulations. Okay, because he doesn't want you to have the freedom to choose righteousness, to choose love above all things. Because when you love God, that love will regulate your behavior. Agape will cause you to do no harm to those that you love. Jesus is after our love in the midst of this freedom that he gave us. Jordan, you can do what you want. What are you going to do with that? He's after our love. This is where agape is tested. You see, rules do not reveal your character. I think there's a slide there. Rules do not reveal your character. Freedom reveals our character and the reverence of God. I said this series is tough. Oh, Jesus, I can smell the pressure in the room right now. Ah, the law of love is so much greater than the law of regulations. Because I use my free will to defeat the power of sin through love. Freedom and choices puts on display this kind of love that we're operating out of. It puts it on display. Am I operating out of eros? I'm getting what I want out of this thing? Or I'm giving to that person because of my love. I'm giving to the kingdom. I'm giving to my wife. I'm giving around those around me. I'm operating out of agape, which is an unmotivated love. It's not motivated by anything they do. It comes from the heart of God. That's why sometimes you can love people that you've never seen. Like you see a picture of them, you see a missionary thing, you could start to love them. Why? Because that's coming from God. I don't know them. You don't have to know them to love. That's what covenant's all about. You make a commitment, and then you get to know them. In this journey that we're entering into as a new creation, as living as a new me in Jesus, as living from this new mind, is new. Okay, it's like I purposely have to engage it. This is part of new kingdom. This is part of having the mind of Christ towards all things. And sadly, many are still in the kingdom and still are operating with the mind of the flesh. And because of that, sometimes people will do things that are just not good towards us and towards our family. Okay? Sometimes they will use their freedom to hurt. So what do we do when people do not respect the access we've given them to intimacy? What do we do with that? The response in the world is a word you've all heard. It starts with a B. What's it called? Boundaries. Yes, that's a very popular word to use. So you gotta like put up your boundaries. Why? Because in the world relational ecosystem, you put up your boundaries in order to control people and their behavior. But in the kingdom, I set up my boundaries to manage me, to operate as a son of God in my relationships. My boundaries remind me of how the kingdom operates, and I don't need to step across the line and respond to eros with eros. That's what my boundaries are for. See, boundaries are for keeping myself in the proper place of love, joy, and peace, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Man, come on. We receive the Holy Spirit. And as we feast with the Holy Spirit, as he moves in our lives, he begins to give us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. I'm going to honor that because I don't need to enter into anxiety and in fear because that's what the world has for me. And I don't want to go back there. So I'm going to guard that. So if you're acting in anxiety and in fear and you want me to enter into that, my boundaries won't let me. I'm sorry, I don't do that. I don't do fear and trepidation around issues. So healthy honor and base boundary will keep people and their behavior from diminishing what's important in your life. Because I have these boundaries of love around me. And so honor-led boundaries creates value for intimacy and health. And when we don't have the boundaries of honor around our lives, sometimes we do invite disrespect into our lives. When we don't have those firm set honors, we invite disrespect and we get dishonored and we kind of go, why am I being so dishonored? Why am I being so disrespected? So then what response is to like, okay, set up my boundaries in anger. Set up my boundaries in anger. Set up my boundaries in anger. And guess what? They're like, great. They're responding just like I'm responding. So they set up their boundaries in anger. Rawr! And it's a struggle of who's got the bigger boundary. And after a while, your brain can't deal with you being angry all the time. So you will become depressed. And then you crash. And the boundaries come down. And they go rushing through. Beat you up again. Oh, nobody's ever experienced that in this room, I'm sure. And then we do that long enough, and then we set up boundaries out of bitterness. And that's not a boundary, that's jail. You just set yourself up in jail, a jail of deception. So how do we establish healthy boundaries when there's unhealthy people in our lives? Anybody know anybody who's not healthy? Don't raise your hand. I was just scratching my head. I don't know anybody. How do you do that? First of all, you have to realize your worth in Jesus. I'm not worthy of the love of Jesus. Yes, you are, because he died for you. Well, I haven't done, I'm not worthy. He goes, it's not about what you have done. It's about what he has done that has made you worthy. It's too late. He's already died for you. You're already worthy. You can't take it back. So, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, I realized, hey, I carry worth and honor. So, when I'm around situations that tries to remove that honor, I remove myself. How do you do that? You tell people what you're going to do, not what they're going to do. Because we don't control people. Agape does not control people. Okay? See, words make appeals, but actions create requirements. So here's what we simply say. If you continue to be disrespectful in our relationship, I'm going to leave the conversation now because it's dishonoring the Lord, it's dishonoring you, and it's dishonoring me. And when you're ready to re-engage in honor, I am here. See, 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear or the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. You have been given power, therefore you are powerful. But your love regulates that power. How do you use that power? That I don't ever use the power that I've been given to establish selfish boundaries, but I use the power that I've been given to establish boundaries out of love. Okay, and then discipline funnels the love. So, in the culture of honor, you are powerful. You've been given love and discipline as a grace that's available to you. So right now, some of you are thinking about a relationship that you're in, and you say, Father, this is your word. I've been given the power, love, and discipline. So I need to, Father, in my relationship, apply this so that I don't let their dishonor you or continue to dishonor them. So, here's the deal. Your boundaries are always up. They're not up because, man, you did something bad against me. No, they're up because I live in the boundaries of agape love, honor, covenant. Okay? So when I remove myself, it gives the offender the opportunity to say, oh, I just trashed all over the boundaries of the kingdom. Recognize that these are the boundaries in the kingdom covenant relationships. And so they can deal with it and they can go like, okay, I'm ready to operate back in the boundaries. Healthy boundaries are the things that require the best out of people. I want the band to come up. How'd I do? Okay, 5 minutes. Here we go. Love elevates relationship above issues. And if we use the law of love, if we use our freedom to protect relationships that we have made covenant for, we will begin to reflect the family of God on the earth. It will be a true thing because I will then love as I have been loved. I will honor as I have been honored. And this is the foundation for my commitment and relationship. This becomes the boundaries that we operate out of. So, How do we do this? This starts with the thing I talked about the first week. I've got to make a covenant to enter into this. I've got to make a commitment that this is the way I'm going to be, because this is my family and this is how we relate to one another. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that he is worthy of. To lay down my worldly training and take on the mind of Christ towards relationship. Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of receiving the reward of his suffering. He suffered to bring us into freedom. That we would never return to being regulated by rules, but that we would be regulated by love. And how the world is so hungry for this. There's a big, big hole in their heart that says agape, but they will never experience it. I don't care how many marriages they have. They will never experience it outside of the kingdom and outside of the family of God. So we got some work to do. I want you to stand to your feet. I believe that today there is a grace. Nathan had a word. He came to me during worship. Some people come to work, give me words. They're going to let him give the word. Sometimes they're just giving me words for me to know. Their job is just to release the word. And he said, God is going to do a baptism while you're preaching today. I believe there's a baptism of a renewed mind in Christ Jesus right now to say, I see what is possible. I see what I was called to. I was called to freedom. I was called by love to come to this place where I will let my love regulate my life. The love of God in Jesus regulates my life. I believe right now that there is grace right now in this altar. That you take a step forward and says, you know what? I'm stepping into this thing. I'm stepping out of the way that I was trained out of the world. And today I receive the grace. Grace given to me in Christ Jesus. If you want that, I want you to come forward, because I think there's something about saying, I'm moving towards what heaven has for me. I'm leaving what the earth had trained me in, and I'm stepping into agape love. I'm stepping into a grace that's right now in this room. There's a grace right now in this room to break the power of Eros over our lives, the wound of Eros over our lives, to leave here and realize that my papa cannot be disappointed in me, because he looks through me through the eyes of Jesus who has died on the cross. He looks at me prophetically. He looks at me through his love. He does not look through me through my actions, but he looks at me through his intended purposes for my life. Therefore, he's happy. And the only reason I changed my behavior is because I want to live in the fullness of all I was created to be. That I change my behavior so that love regulates me, so that righteousness becomes the standard that's released from my life, not because I'm trying to be righteous, but because love releases righteousness out of me. Come on, lift your hands before the Lord. Right now, there's just a wave of the Holy Spirit. The angels of the Lord are here ministering life. First of all, the wounds of Eros. The wounds of Eros, that you were treated according to a standard and you were punished if you did not meet that standard. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that you are going right to where the heart wound of that is. Oh, Lord, and you are breathing your life. And you're melting it and saying, I treated you according to my standard. While you hated me, I loved you. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to the limbic system that remembers that pain, that sets up all kinds of boundaries to not relive that pain. And I thank you right now, the Holy Spirit, thank you for touching and erasing that in Jesus' name. That the mind is actually being renewed right now to trust again, to hope again, to move, and not be confused of what real love is. Thank you, Jesus, for the healing of our hearts right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive it. Just begin to thank him. Says, Lord, thank you for healing my heart of the Eros wounds. Thank you for healing my heart. Thank you for healing. I receive your healing. I receive your healing, Lord. I just find some of you right now feeling a really warm thing happening in your chest. And if you don't, it doesn't mean it isn't happening. But some of you are feeling that right now. Come on. Yeah, just say, yes, Lord, more, more, more. Do your surgery. Yes, do your surgery. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Lord, we come here to enter into a covenant with you. To say, Lord, we are committing ourselves to explore the height, the breadth, and the width of this love of God that's in Jesus. Lord, teach us how to love as we have been loved. Father, let us be a family, Lord, Lord, that is forever protected by these beautiful boundaries of covenant love and honor that we continually, prophetically remind of one another of the goal that we carry, of the hope that is in us, of the beauty that we carry in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for revealing the treasure. For revealing the treasure. Give us eyes to see the treasure in one another. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that right now we're receiving, Lord, the love. Lord, the deeper revelation. Just open up your arms just to receive. Thank you for the deeper revelation of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that everything we do, Lord, everything we do is a response to love. That now, Lord, we don't live in reaction to how we wounded, reaction to the possibilities of this thing going bad, but Lord, we live, Lord, in response to what heaven is doing. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, you're rewiring our mind from reaction to response. Come on. You're rewiring our minds. Put your hands on your head. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare that your mind is being rewired by the power of the Holy Spirit and the angelic forces here. Whoa, you're being rewired from reaction to response. From the reaction of fear to the response of hope, faith, and love. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. We lift you up, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Yeah, just put your hand on the person next to you and just say, Father, just immerse them with your love. Immerse them. Immerse them with your love. Just do that before you go. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want the prayer team to get ready to be in the corner. And we just, as we dismiss, if you just have a need, or something in your heart, a burden in your heart, something you want the Lord to go deeper, just go to the prayer team and they'll just minister to you today. But just as you go, I just bless you right now. I just bless you right now with the God of hope. I bless you with the faith of God. And I bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with the love of God. The love of God. Thank you for the love of God. We thank you for the love of God. Yeah.